This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Medical News Network. We're about to speak to Dr. Warner C. Green, MD, PhD, who's the director of the Gladstone Institute of Virology and Immunology at the University of California at San Francisco. Welcome to Utopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you.
Your lab has just released a key finding in the behavior of HIV in relation to T cells, and we wanted to talk about that a little bit today. If you could give us just the briefest, concise background about what T cells are, what they do, and why they're so important in understanding how HIV works.
Well, the CD4T lymphocyte is a key cell that regulates and orchestrates the entire immune response, and it's precisely that cell that HIV attacks.
Okay, and you've now elucidated some more precise mechanisms by which that attack takes place, and in, especially in terms of the difference in behavior of HIV against the small form and the large form of a factor called APOBEC3G, but it's known in, to its friends as A3G.
Right, APOBEC3G or A3G.
Okay, and talk about the two different forms of the A3G.
I want to back up and just say so that HIV can, it's been long known that HIV can infect an activated CD4 T cell,
right.
But HIV cannot infect a resting CD4 T cell.
Okay.
And it was thought that the resting CD4 T cell is simply missing a factor.
Okay, what's the relative proportion in an uninfected person of the resting to the active state of the CD4 T cells?
At least 9 out of 10 cells are resting, and maybe 1 out of 10 cells are activated. So the resting T cells are far in excess of the activated T cells.
But the HIV is only effective against the active ones.
Correct.
And so the way that works, I imagine then, is that after it demolishes them, formerly resting ones convert themselves to the active stage,
right.
and as they do, they're essentially, as they go over the wall, they're met by the HIV that destroys them.
Right.
And eventually the ratio, and then the store of resting cells diminishes until there aren't any, and then when opportunistic infections come in, there's nothing left to fight against them.
Yes, that plays out over a many-year period of time.
Okay.
But the resting T cell had previously had been well recognized for not being infected.
Right.
It was thought that it was just missing some key factor needed for HIV replication.
Okay.
Our finding now shows that's not the case. Resting T cells level their own very active antiviral defense through this small form of A3G.
Okay. Can we talk a little bit, do you know yet how it does that?
Yes. It interferes with the reverse transcription step. So the first phase of the virus binds to the cell, it fuses to the resting T cell, but then the reverse transcription, whereby the RNA is converted into DNA,
right.
is interrupted by the small form of A3G.
What is it in the small form of A3G that does that interrupting of the
That's a very good question. A3G is a DNA mutating enzyme,
right?
But we find very low levels of very little evidence that it's working through its DNA mutagenic activity.
Right.
And we think that it may be working through its RNA binding activity.
Okay, but you're still investigating that, presumably, to
find out. Yes, that's right at the cutting edge of the field right now.
Okay, but when the T cells go active, then
right.
the A3G converts from the small form to the large form.
Right.
And then that's an intrinsic part of that activation process.
Correct, and that then the shields go to the antiviral shield goes down.
Okay, and at that point, how does the HIV manage to penetrate the now weakened, now less effective defense?
Well, now the block at the level of reverse transcription is entirely removed.
Right, and so the HIV virus has a clear field. You were to do what
Correct.
It wants to do. You were talking about in this press release that the VIF factor is the VIF element in the HIV. It's one of the genes.
Yeah.
VIF.
The benign genes.
And how does that attack the large form of the A3G?
So that plays out later in the retroviral life cycle after the virus has completed reverse transcription,
right.
moved in, integrated, and is now beginning to make new viruses.
Right.
AvoBec 3G can actually be incorporated into the virion, and if it is incorporated into the virion, it kills the virus during the next round of infection.
Okay.
But HIV deals with this threat, this much later threat of AvoBec through its VIF gene product, which induces the degradation and diminishes the synthesis of AvoBec.
So the VIF VIF binds with the A3G and prevents it from doing the work it needs to do against the HIV virus.
Right. So if HIV didn't have a VIF gene, we wouldn't have a global HIV epidemic. It's that, I mean, the power of this APOBEC 3G antiviral factor is so strong that it's really able to knock the virus flat.
So essentially the proxy, the crucial advance guard of the HIV process is this VIF, and the small form of the A3G is effective in stopping it, but the large form isn't.
Yes, that is correct. But now remember, the small form
only
operates in these resting T cells. So
right.
The virus never, ever gets a toehold in those cells.
It can only get a toehold
in the activated cells,
right. All right, so now...
And that's where VIF works.
Okay, so having made this discovery, what are the therapeutic paths that you might follow now to take advantage of it to defeat the HIV virus?
Well, it would be great if we could, in activated T cells, create the same kind of antiviral shield that exists in resting T cells.
Right, but apparently it disappears when they transform from small to large.
Correct, and that's the idea, would be to identify small molecules that would prevent the APOBEC 3G from being recruited into these high molecular weight complexes.
And what are the ways you could do that?
Well, that's the search for such a compound.
And is that essentially being done on a trial and error basis, or do you have some picture of what's there and
well,
what you're looking for?
I think the key is to determine what's in the high molecular weight complex.
Right.
And then by understanding the components of that complex, maybe we can block its assembly.
Okay. And is research underway to do that now?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You mentioned an alternative path that could be used essentially to prevent the small form of A3G from converting to the large form in the first place, but isn't that sort of intrinsic to the transformation process of the resting to the active form of the T cell?
Well, it happens. I mean, it certainly is associated with T cell activation, but I think that we could block it, but I just am not. I'm uncertain at this point what effects that will have upon the cell.
Right.
It may be important for the cell to sequester this DNA mutating enzyme at a time when the cell itself is now activated and replicating its own DNA.
The press release mentions that there's some worry that if it weren't sequestered, that it could mutate the cell itself and cause cancer.
At this point, a theoretical possibility,
right.
But one that we want to study carefully.
Okay. So where do things stand now in terms of what you're looking at, and what kind of timetable could you possibly talk about to turn this discovery into a treatment?
Well, I think that we are much closer, it's much closer to having antagonists of VIF.
Right.
That would operate in the activated T cell to allow the APOBEC 3G to survive and be incorporated into the virion and kill the virus in the next cell.
That's the strategy. That's the strategy that you that you think is most likely to
yield. Well, that is clearly underway.
Okay.
Now, our new studies raise the possibility of a second strategy, and that is to block this complex assembly step to try and make activated cells look to the virus like they're resting T cells. And that's going to be a longer term project, because we have to first dissect out what is it that occurs during high molecular weight complex formation with A3G.
So you have more sort of basic science to develop
before
you can do that.
But it's a very exciting possibility because of the potency of the antiviral shield that exists in resting T cells.
Will it be relatively easy once you have the mechanism and pathways elucidated to produce enough of some agent that would cause that process to take place?
Well, I think I'm not sure if I would use the word easy,
right.
But I think it will
become
much more tractable, yes.
Right, okay. All right, I want to thank you very much. Tell us what you're doing up there in Canada. You're going to address a conference?
Yes, I'm at an HIV meeting.
And have you announced this yet? Are you going to be announcing it in your presentations or what?
Well, actually, I've already presented the work previously, so the HIV community is well aware. They've been awaiting the publication of this paper, which came out today.
Okay. So I want to congratulate you on the publication. Thank you for
Thank
your
you.
Work and for talking
it.
To us. And I hope we can talk again maybe at greater length when you're back in the States and get some more information about this and its implications for the treatment of HIV and AIDS.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.